You need a Bible, lift up your hand. One of the ushers get you one. These are Wednesday night Bible studies for welcome. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I guess y'all are really blessed today because a man of God, when he was up at the altar a little while ago with his wife, prophesied that the pastor would have a short message today. Amen. So praise God. You can just relax a little bit. I'm not going to be long-winded. Hallelujah. But I believe the Lord has something to say to us today. Amen. You know, I just love to be in God's presence. I love to see what God does. It's all about Him. It's not about any of us. It's about Him. And when we have a revelation and understanding, when we try to make it about us and what we do, we always feel short. Amen. God's arm is very long. Praise God. You know, last week we talked to you about being Christ-sized, being enlarged in God's eyes. Matter of fact, in Colossians 1:27, the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. So it's Christ in you and I. And today I want to talk to you and take you a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about our helper, our advocate, our friend. Talk to you a little bit today about the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is God. You know, we find God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Ghost. He's three in one. You know, when we look at the Holy Spirit, we're expecting the Holy Spirit to manifest Himself and operate in the midst of brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We recognize that He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. Amen. So we can find that we have a helper, we have an advocate, we have a friend, we have a comforter, we have a monitor, we have a counselor. Amen. Amen. So today I want to go with you for a little short journey here through God's word. And I want to read to you out of Luke chapter 11, verse number 5. Jesus had just taught His disciples how to pray. They said, Lord, how do we know how to pray if you don't teach us? Amen? Amen. And Jesus taught them the Lord's Prayer and verses 2 through 4. But in verse number 5, He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. We got to glue this thing on. Amen. Where was I? Yeah. Praise God. Okay. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity or his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is his father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. I want you to understand today that we have the giver of good things is God. He's the giver. He's the gift he's speaking about is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to do what? To help them to pray. Because we don't know how to pray. Sometimes we don't even know what to pray. But the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with words that we cannot utter. And the getter is those that ask him. So today we're going to look at the giver, we're going to look at the gift, and we're going to look at the getter. I think that somebody used to always say to me, get her done. So we're praying with the help of the Holy Spirit and God's word that we get her done today. Amen? That we get her to God, get her done, that God does something in our hearts and lives. He gives us a revelation so that we can walk in more mercy and more grace. Amen? You know, I was thinking about that waves of mercy and that waves of grace that the Lord was showing me this morning that was coming in. Sometimes we are like a seawall that the waves just bounce off of. God wants us to allow the waves of the Holy Spirit to penetrate our hearts and our minds. Amen? So we're not just speaking of this just for something to speak about. This word has purpose in every heart and life in the room. So can we make a declaration today? Can we lift our words together? Amen? Can we lift the word? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. It was written to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me, for your servant is listening. My ears are open. My heart is receptive. To you be the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we're so grateful that you sent your word to this house today to accomplish what you sent it to this place to do. So, Lord, I pray that you speak through me today, Father God, that the words that come forth with power and authority, and that they accomplish everything that you sent them to do. I know your word declares it'll never return unto you void. So, Father, I thank you for each and everything that you're going to accomplish in every heart in the house today. And we'll never cease to give you praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You know, when I'm looking at the giver, he says that if ye be in evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give? He's a giver of good things. You know, in James 1:17, the Bible says every good and every perfect gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift, the gift we're talking about today, is the Holy Spirit. Every perfect gift, he's God, he's perfect, cometh down from above, from the Father of lights. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. You know, when we look at light and we relate light to the sun. Now, the sun's shining here right now, but there's another part of the country where it's dark, where there's a shadow, where the light isn't shining. But God's word is light. The giver, God is God, light. He is the glory. He is God, and there's no shadow with him. There's no dark area. It's all light. It's all light. See, that light shined in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. So when I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at the giver of good things, and I want you to understand something. The Holy Spirit is a good thing. Amen? It's a good thing. You know, he said up there that the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but it's in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the giver of good things. It's a giver of joy. Some of you have been trying to get your joy from places that you'll never get joy. You're looking for it in places. Maybe it's in your husband, or maybe it's in your wife, or maybe it's in your children, or maybe it's in your job, or maybe it's in your games. You're not going to find that joy. That joy comes from God. His joy is unspeakable in the fullness of glory. Amen. In other words, when we've tried to find everything else to fill that joy, we'll always be let down. We'll always just be disappointed. Amen. It'll never seem to measure up. I remember, and when I was in business, man, I had this plateau, and I got to this plateau, and I had to go to another plateau, and I had to go to another plateau, I had to go to another plateau, I had to go to another plateau. I was never happy. I was never satisfied until I found what satisfies.
That's true.
Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit satisfies. Y'all are splitting apart today, and y'all singing together.
Oh.
Wait a minute. This is the air I breathe, Barb. Judy compromised.
This is the air I breathe. This is the
It's a song. Hallelujah. The breath of life. Surround sound. A breath of life. You know, when God created man, He breathed on them the breath of life. And the Holy Spirit, the gift that God wants to give, is the breath of life. You know, John the Baptist, he got this, he got a revelation. He said in John 3:27, he said, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Amen. A man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. Praise God. What are we talking about? We're talking about the giver. We're talking about God Almighty. We're talking about the giver of life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness, and darkness comprehendeth it not. So in him was life, and the life was the fullness thereof. Amen? So we're looking at the giver of good things. You want something good in your life?
Praise God.
You want to think good things in your life? Seek God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, you don't have to look over here, and you don't have to look over there. You don't have to look back there. You just have to look up there. Amen. Hey, there's only one giver. That's God. And he manifests himself three ways. He manifests himself as a Father, as a Son, and as a Holy Spirit. Praise God. You know, when I was looking at that, the Lord took me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So I wanted to share something that's confusing and it's hurting some people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 3, the Word of God says, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. What the Lord was saying is the letter killeth, the law was the ministration of death. There was not an answer. We're under the New Testament. We're under grace. We're under grace and we're under mercy. There was waves of mercy and waves of grace. And he said to you and I, we cannot read the Old Testament without reading the New. Because if we read the Old Testament and we don't bring to light the New Testament, we're still living under the curse of the law. The curse of sin has been broken by grace through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? In other words, he's a minister of life. The New Testament is about life. It isn't about death. The Old Testament, the law was a schoolmaster to show you the need of Christ by faith, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse number 24. And when I was looking at it, the Lord was saying something to me. He says, well, the law had to be established. It's just like the law in the land. I was riding down the highway the other day, and I'm riding in my car, and I talked to Mel about it. It came up when we were driving down the road. And, you know, the old cars or the Old Testament, amen, your foot was the only thing that had control. So if you were riding down the highway, your foot had to control it. You were doing it by yourself. But in the New Testament or their new vehicles, we can ride down the road, and we have a helper, cruise control. And the cruise control is like the Holy Spirit's to help us keep the law. But we still are given a will. Even when my cruise control was on, I still have this foot I have to have control of. Amen. So this foot, even if I obey the law, I have the Holy Spirit to help me. Amen. I have a tendency sometimes to break the law. Amen? But God's grace abounds. Now, if I go out and I'm not attended to break the law, God's law, and I mess up, His grace just catches me. It was like I was heading to Manassas on Thursday. I'm on Route 66. I'm cruising. I'm listening to some Casting Crowns. Yeah. My brother made me a CD, amen? And I'm just jamming on Casting Crowns. I'm going, and I was behind this truck, and it was going about 70. Its speed limit was 70, so I was going a little over 70. There's grace. There's a grace measure. I think it's a 5-mile grace period. I think that you get. Normally, if you're not going over 5 miles an hour over the speed limit, they're not going to pull you over. I confess, Lord, I know, I hear you. You know what he just said to me? He said, at 75, I'm still breaking the law. And it's sin. He says, render under Caesar's what is Caesar's, render under God's what is God's. But you know what he does? He ministers in love. He didn't just say that and beat me up. He said, hey, you're sinning. And you're standing in front of all these people saying, hey, you're a sinner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I thank God for grace and I thank God for mercy. But I'm riding along the road and I'm going like 75. And I'm coming behind this tractor trailer truck. And this guy's over on the left side. This guy's just riding me the whole way. You know? Riding me the whole way. And I gave in to a worse sin than the 5 miles over. In other words, I was coming up to this truck, and this car was here, and it was getting to the point, and I said, man, I really got to speed up to get into this, to pass this truck. So I hit it, all right? And I got a Lincoln Town Car, and it just pops in. If you're going 75, it'll go to 100 real quick, all right? It doesn't take much to get up, giddy up and go. So I hit that pedal. I just had an old teenager come out of me, and young man, shh. And I looked to the left. And there was a state trooper with radar. Just in that brief moment, I never speeded one other time. Not one other time did I go over the 74, 75, wherever my speed control was. But in that one moment, I hit it. And then, you know, I just looked, oh, no. And then I went for about the next 2 miles looking in my rearview mirror, but he didn't come out for me. But God showed me where I was wrong. And it wasn't only the thing that I did. It wasn't only the thing that I did, but it was some of the words that I said. I didn't curse. I don't cuss anymore. But I said words of belittling. About the, so as I'm riding down, as I'm riding past there, now all of a sudden I've got to repent. I was wrong. I'm not justifying what I said, but I let my feelings govern and rule me. You know? And why I'm saying this is God's given you and I a helper. He's given you and I a friend. He's given us a helper in our vehicles to help us to stop speeding. Is there any speeders in the house? Amen? Amen? Parents, I see your kids, raise your hand. You ought to thank God the Holy Spirit's speaking to them today. Amen? Huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, you don't want to ride Brother Ron. I don't shouldn't say this about the man, but we're talking about traveling. Ron's going 70 miles an hour, 70 couple, whatever. He breaks the speed limit too. He has to repent also. All right. But Ron, he has a tendency to get right up on their tail end of the car before he changes lanes.
I do it too.
Matter of fact, when I left for South Carolina, I had hair. Why am I saying this? Hey, God is the giver. All right? He gives us all things to enjoy. He blesses us. And I know I used this scripture last week, but it spoke to me this week also. And 1 Thessalonians 2, verse number 12, it says that you would walk worthy of God who have called you into his kingdom and in glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I shared with my friend as we went out the other day, there's the perfect will and there's the permissive will of God. You know, I did something. I've confessed and I don't think he isn't telling me that I have to share with you what it is this time, praise God. But, as a minister, I make decisions, and a lot of times there are decisions that we make affect other people. And sometimes when we make a wrong decision, not that it wasn't permissible, because, you know, if it was for good, but sometimes it's not God's perfect will. And sometimes when we make decisions and it has an effect on other people, the Lord showed me, when I'm at the park, he's always talking to me. I guess that's the only time I'm not running my mouth. Can't really talk when I'm running. Amen. But he showed me something. He had showed me where I made a decision and how I was wrong. And I repented and asked forgiveness, but the Lord said that there was consequences. And for every seed sown, there's a harvest. So he didn't show me. The Bible says he'll show you things to come. He didn't show me what the consequence was. Amen? But the best thing we can do, okay, is when we make a bad decision or we make a wrong decision and the Lord reveals it to you, because he reveals it in love, we ask forgiveness. Amen? We ask forgiveness and we learn. You know, because life's about lessons. There isn't nothing you've been through that isn't a lesson. I think the Holy Spirit said that to you too, that this morning, how he'll take those things, that nothing would be wasted, that God would use everything, okay? You know, and I'm looking at this morning when we were speaking this morning where Peter, the Lord said that Satan was going to sift him like wheat, was going to agitate him, was going to bother him, but that Lord prayed for him, you know? And he said that he would be converted. And when he converted means converted from that error that he was making. You know, he could have easily been like Judas. Some people think, well, it's just because he denied the Lord three times and Jesus knew. No. The adversary was here to steal him the same way he was Judas. Amen. But the Lord prayed for him. He interceded for him. And that's why the Holy Spirit is so important, that when we pray, that we have an intercessor that goes right to the Father, that's right there at all times, the Spirit that Christ sent. You know, John the Baptist said in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, he says, I indeed baptize you with water, but he that's following me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to tie, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And this speaks of the baptism and the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And there was a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled all them that were in the room with cloven tongues of fire. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, clothing tongues of fire, as the Lord would show me too. You know, a clothing tongue is a split tongue. And a split tongue, a cloven tongue, and a tongue that's split, that means that sometimes we're speaking from the natural and sometimes we're speaking from the spiritual. You know, I think the Indians used to call it a forked tongue. Huh? Right? You spoke truth and you spoke error. A forked tongue. Amen. But God's word says in John 16, 13, it says, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he shall guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hear, that shall he speak. Matter of fact, in John 14, 13, Jesus said, 14, 16, excuse me, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither know of him, but ye shall know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 3:16 that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost that dwells in you and it dwells in me. So we're talking about the indwelling Spirit of God. Jesus said in John 14:6, listen, 14:26, he said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Okay? What is the Holy Spirit going to remind you of? Everything that Jesus said. In other words, I believe we need to get the red in our head. Hello? Are we a New Testament church? Are we a New Testament? We need to get the red in our head. He didn't say that the Holy Spirit will bring into remembrance everything the Word of God said. He said, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance those things that I have said unto you, what Jesus said. Now, we can go back and we say in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. We could say he was already at the beginning, but the Holy Spirit wants to speak to a New Testament church. And I believe so many times that people are so caught up in the law of the Old Testament they can't live in the freedom and joy and peace that God gives in the New Testament of grace. This is the season of grace and mercy. You don't have to walk around in condemnation all the time, feeling guilty for your past. Let your past go. Hallelujah. You're a new creation. This is a new day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in this day. Amen. And I'll tell you what, yesterday's gone, it's history. We live in the present and it's a gift from God. So let the gift of the Holy Spirit flow in your lives and live today to the fullest. Amen. You know, praise God. You know, so many times we read the Old Testament, we read the law and the whole thing, and we feel guilty, and we found dead, and we're facing death and whatever, but Jesus paid the price so I don't have to face death anymore. Amen? I'm not going to eliminate the Old Testament because the Old Testament is our schoolmaster. Amen? It shows us that we need Jesus. It shows us that we need the gift of the Holy Spirit. It shows us that we need these things. But the Word of God says in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 27, says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now what are we talking about? The Holy Spirit will do what? If ye be an evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost? We're talking about ask, ye shall receive, seek, ye shall find, knock, and the door shall be opened for. What are we asking for? We're asking for the gift of the Holy Spirit for what? To help us. We need a helper. We need an advocate. We need a counselor. We need a monitor. We need someone. We need help. How many needs help in the place? Amen? So we all need help. Then if he's going to bring to remembrance what things whatsoever Jesus said, then go with me and God's word, and let's look at John chapter 15, what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. In other words, what he is saying is when we're connected to the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit, that there's something that takes place in our lives, that we start bearing fruits of the Spirit of God. Amen? In other words, we become fruit. We become fruitful. Amen. And when I study out God's word and I'm looking through the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of God and the gifts of the Spirit, aren't about speaking in tongues. That's the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift that God gives you to help you pray. But the gift of the Spirit of the being in your life is fruit being evident in your life. You were one time like this, and now there's a transformation that began from the inside and works itself outwardly. All of a sudden, there's outward fruit that starts manifesting itself. Matter of fact, in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 9, Paul says, in this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Who gave us the Spirit? Christ gave us the Spirit. What did he give it to us for? That he would be in us, that we would remember him. In other words, he said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm still going to be there. He wasn't there in the physical. Now he's there in the spiritual. Jesus is always there. Amen? And what he is saying to you and I, as we allow the Spirit of God to manifest itself in our lives, all of a sudden we become Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no such, there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. In other words, now I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. These old things are gone away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm allowing the Spirit of God to manifest itself in my life, and all of a sudden I'm walking in love. All of a sudden there's a joy. The joy of what? We talked about it a little while ago, the joy of the Holy Ghost, the peace of God. Well, how's the peace come? He is the Prince of Peace. That's Christ in your life. Christ was humble. He humbled himself. He walked in meekness. He walked in temperance. And that calls for you and I to walk in some faith, to believe God at his word. Amen? And if we believe God at his word, we'll do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. And we'll watch and see God do great and mighty things through our hearts and through our lives. You know, he said in Ephesians 5:8, he says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." In other words, I don't do that same thing any longer. I don't hang with the same people I used to hang with. That doesn't mean I don't love them, that I don't care about them, but I'm not having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But guess what? When I have fellowship with the unfruitful darks of dark unfruitful works of darkness, all of a sudden that darkness gets on me. And all of a sudden, we think that we're going to bring light into the darkness, and the problem is the light is so great, the darkness is so great, it covers the light. Amen? I see so many people think, well, I'm a light, and I'm going to go into this dark place, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and they think they're going to go in by themselves and do that. They don't have anybody hold them accountable, and all of a sudden the devil starts tapping on their shoulder, and all of a sudden they give in to temptation, and all of a sudden they get back in that same place they once were. The Holy Spirit says, hey, God gives you good gifts. The gift he gives you is the Holy Spirit. Then you're a getter. You know, you and I are the getters. Amen. He says to them that ask him, if you don't have, ask, and you shall receive. If you have, get it, ask it, seek it, you shall find. If you don't get it, seek it, knock, and the door shall be open. Amen. You know, he says to you and I in James chapter 3, verse number 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Then it's peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Amen? So what is God saying to you and I simply today in closing? He is saying to you and I, every good gift and every perfect gift is from heaven above. It comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He says, if you and I, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost to them that ask? You know, God has a plan in your heart and life. Amen? And his plan is for good. And his plan is not for evil. You know, we were talking here on Sunday, it's time for us to let the Holy Ghost have its way in the house. It's time to let go and let God. It's time for you and I to trust God in what he said he'd do. You know, half the time when we find ourselves in a situation or we find ourselves in a circumstance and we say, well, Lord, how'd you allow this to happen? Most of the times the things that happen in our life are because of decisions we have made. Did we ask God first? See, we have a tendency not to ask him until we make a mistake. When we're faced with things in our life, God has given you and I the Holy Spirit as a helper, as an advocate. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God, because he gives to us liberally, and he abradeth not. So when we're faced with decisions in life, if we would seek the wisdom that's from above, if we seek the wisdom that's from above, we wouldn't find ourselves in half the situations we find ourselves in. You know, God was saying to me, he talked to me about his perfect will and his permissive will. He said, God blesses everything that you do good. So there's good ideas and there's God ideas. I think in my heart and life, man, I've had a lot of good ideas, but I'm seeking a God idea. Amen? I'm seeking a God idea. God loves every last one that's in the room. God said every last one of us have made mistakes in our life. But praise God for mercy and grace. Amen? Thank him for the grace. Thank him that he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus paid the price. He said he wouldn't leave us comfortless. He has a present and he has a gift. The gift is to whosoever will. Amen. So what are you saying to you and I today? Hey, we know the giver. We have a precious gift that he wants to give. Will you be the giver? Bow your heads and let us pray.